The Side Piece, a novel by J.M. Vella, narrated by Dr. Joe Vio. Chapter 22. Chase heard the familiar sound of Marianne's SUV pulling into the driveway. He poured himself a cup of coffee, grabbed the newspaper, and sat at the counter in an effort to look settled as his wife came in through the side door.
"You're home already?"
she followed with an astonished expression.
"I'm shocked."
He looked up from the paper.
"Yeah, well, I just couldn't concentrate at work. I keep thinking about Jack."
Marianne smiled warmly and gave her husband a soft kiss on the shoulder. "That's yesterday's paper, you know."
"It is? No wonder there didn't seem to be anything newsworthy in there."
He folded the paper and placed it in the trash bin.
"So, how's Jack?"
"He's awake. He's asking for you and JC. He doesn't seem to remember anything around the time of his seizure, but Dr. Wright said that's typical and nothing to worry about. They're still monitoring his brain activity, so there isn't much to share, but at least he's finally awake and talking."
Chase stood up. "I'm relieved he's awake. That was creeping me out, I'm not gonna lie. That Dr. Wright creeps me out a little, too. I think he's on the spectrum."
"Stop it," Marianne teased. "He's just all business. Oh, speaking of Dr. Wright, he wants to talk to JC. He said that siblings and playmates can provide valuable information about a young patient's behavior."
"Well, she's upstairs. Valerie brought her back."
"I know. That was sweet of Val to keep her entertained like that. She doesn't have kids of her own, and I have to admit, I was doubtful that she'd know what to do with a rambunctious 7-year-old.
"Mommy, you're back!"
JC ran down the stairs.
"How's Jackie?"
Marianne smiled. "He's awake now and asking to see you. Would you like to visit him after dinner?"
"Yes!"
JC began to jump in place as she always did when she was excited. Her side braids were still in, but in wretched condition, flopping like blonde ropes against her ears. Marianne reached down and held her daughter's chin to settle her. She noticed a pair of tiny purple crystals embedded in swollen red earlobes. Her eyes widened.
"Did Valerie pierce your ears?"
"No, the lady at the Claire's store did it."
She turned her head proudly from side to side to show off her earrings, expecting admiration.
"I was so brave, Mommy. Auntie Val said she cried when she got her ears pierced, and she was 9.
JC watched her mother's face flush pink and her blue eyes narrow. She knew that look meant trouble and started to tear up.
"Are you mad, Mommy?"
Marianne took a deep breath, trying to control the seething anger she was feeling toward her old college friend.
"I'm not angry with you, sweetie. It's just that Miss Valerie did not have my permission to do this."
She turned to Chase.
"I can't believe Val would think this is okay. How could she do such a thing?"
JC started to cry in earnest.
"Don't be mad at Auntie Val, Mommy, please."
Chase intervened.
"Look, what's done is done. Try to calm down, Marianne. You're upsetting JC. I thought the whole point of this outing with Valerie was to keep her happy and distracted."
He grinned at his daughter, who was looking at her mother anxiously.
"She obviously did keep JC entertained."
Marianne took another deep breath.
"You realize that a parent must sign a consent form for them to pierce a minor's ears. Valerie signed a parental consent form for our daughter without even bothering to call and ask for our permission."
Chase put his arm around his wife.
"You're tired and emotionally spent. It's going to be fine. JC's ears will heal, and you can talk to Valerie about this later. How about if I pick up some takeout for dinner?
That would be nice, Marianne sniffed. Great. Okay, I'll run to Golden Dragon and pick up some chow mein and orange chicken.
Chase grabbed his keys, happy to get away from the tension in the house. He opened the front door and found Valerie standing there about to ring the doorbell. She was carrying a large paper bag.
Great timing, Chase, she chortled. I thought I'd bring y'all some dinner. I stopped by Sellen's and picked up some mac and cheese for JC and a salad.
Her voice dropped when she noticed Marianne's eyes staring daggers at her. Marianne pushed Chase aside and stood blocking the door.
How dare you?
Valerie backed up defensively, looking confused. What, you don't like Sellen's? They have the best mac and cheese in town. Marianne kept her hands braced against the doorframe and stared her down.
You had my daughter's ears pierced.
Oh, that, Marianne smiled. I know, I probably should have called you first.
Probably? You probably should have called me? You have some nerve.
She let go of the doorframe and moved toward Valerie like an avenging angel. Valerie dropped the package on the porch and ran back to her Jaguar in mock fear of her pursuer's temper.
Eat it or not, I don't care, she yelled. I was just trying to keep your daughter happy, Marianne. Sheesh.
She climbed into the red leather bucket seat that barely accommodated her ample rear end and rolled down the window, sticking her head out to have the last word before driving off.
We'll talk later after you get your head on straight.
She backed out of the Howard's driveway without looking in the rearview mirror, nearly running down an elderly neighbor who was out for an afternoon walk. Chase stood quietly observing the hostile exchange, feeling somewhat amused, but glad to see the meddling Valerie chased off their property, hopefully for good. He didn't trust that woman to keep her mouth shut around his wife. It was good for him if Marianne no longer trusted her and ended that friendship. He walked over to the porch and picked up the bag.
No point in wasting Sellen's mac and cheese.
He took the bag into the kitchen and plated the macaroni and salad in equal heaps on three plates.
Let's eat. Then we can go see Jack.
Marianne sighed and took a seat at the table with JC while Chase put the plates in front of them. JC ate heartily, but Marianne just picked at her dinner, moving bits of salad around with her fork. She stood up to pour herself a glass of Chardonnay.
I don't care if I ever see Valerie Cox again.
She took a large swallow of wine.
She had no business insinuating herself into our lives like that.
Don't be mad at Auntie Val, Mommy. She didn't mean it, pleaded JC.
That woman is not your aunt, JC. She's just a person Mommy and Daddy used to know in college. This is my fault. I never should have let her take you to the mall.
She took another large swallow of Chardonnay. JC teared up for the second time.
Can I keep the earrings?
Chase gave his wife a concerned look and she acquiesced.
I suppose so. What's done is done.
You will have to be very careful to keep them clean or you'll wind up with a nasty infection. JC jumped out of her chair and wrapped her little arms around her mother's shoulders.
Thank you, Mommy. I'll show you. I'll be extra careful.
Marianne nodded. We'll see. She stood up, finished off the contents of her wine glass, and glanced at her watch.
It's 5:45. We'd better get going to the hospital. Dr. Wright said he would be back around 6 p.m. and he wants to talk to JC.
Father and daughter left their half-eaten dinners without objection. They were both excited to see Jack, and frankly, neither wanted to upset Marianne now that she'd finally calmed down.
Jack was sitting up in his hospital bed, eating chocolate pudding when his sister and parents came through the door. JC ran up to her brother's bed, gave him a quick peck on the cheek, and demanded a spoonful, to which Jack promptly and happily obliged.
"Is it awful in the hospital, Jackie?"
JC sat beside her brother in the bed, looking suddenly concerned. He grinned and pushed a button on the side of his bed, laughing as his twin squealed with delight as the bed began to fold up around them. "Jack, stop messing with your bed," Marianne scolded, though she was inwardly delighted to see her twins making mischief together again. "That's not safe." Dr. Wright knocked on the door before letting himself in. "This must be your twin sister, right, Jack?" He stood with his hands on his hips, amused by the twin taco. JC rolled off the bed at Marianne's urging and introduced herself politely to the doctor.
"Nice to meet you, JC. My name is Dr. Wright. I'm doing my best to take care of your brother, but I could use your help. Would you mind talking to me in the waiting room for a few minutes?"
JC pulled herself up, feeling very important.
"Sure. I always take good care of my little brother."
"I thought you were twins."
"We are, but I'm 10 minutes older than Jackie."
"Of course."
Dr. Wright opened the door and motioned for JC to follow him.
"I'll bring her back in a few minutes," he said to Chase. "We'll be in the waiting room across the hall."
Dr. Wright asked JC to describe their daily routine, diet, and bedtime. Everything JC shared matched with what Marianne had previously shared.
"Does Jack ever get dizzy, distracted, or forget things?" he asked.
JC twisted her face in concentration.
"Yes, he's always forgetting things. I'm the smart twin. I have to remind him a lot."
"That's very interesting to know. What about school? Do you help him with schoolwork too?"
JC nodded.
"He doesn't pay good attention, so I have to teach him again at home."
She leaned conspicuously close to the doctor and whispered,
"I do all Jack's homework. Don't tell Mommy," she giggled. "Sometimes Jackie even falls asleep at school."
"I see. Does that happen often? Jack falling asleep in class?"
Yeah, I guess. Sometimes he wakes up and doesn't know where he's at."
"Thank you, JC. You've been a very big help."
"That's okay. Can I go back and see Jackie now?"
Dr. Wright nodded, and JC ran back to the room, hopping back into her brother's hospital bed and held him protectively. Chase sat at the edge of the bed and smiled at his wife.
"Two peas in a pod."
Marianne chuckled.
"Always."
She moved the only chair in the room toward JC's side of the bed and sat down.
"So, how was your talk with Dr. Wright?"
JC beamed with pride.
"He said I was a big helper. How I always take care of Jackie and, like, how I took that important message for you yesterday."
She brightened.
"Now I'm going to take really good care of my pierced ears. You'll see, Mommy."
"What important message?" JC pointed to Chase.
"Daddy, you said you were going to give Mommy the message. You forgot, just like Jackie forgets stuff."
She turned back to her mother.
"Shonda called and wants you to call her back."
"I don't know anyone named Shonda," said Marianne with a puzzled look. "Are you sure you got her name right?"
"She spelled it for me. Daddy, give Mommy the note."
Chase interjected.
"Probably just a phone solicitor."
"No,"
JC insisted.
"She said she was Daddy's special friend, but she wanted to talk to you, Mommy."
Chase shrugged, trying not to let the panic show on his face.
I don't know anyone named Shonda. Maybe it was a wrong number.
He stood up as his cell phone buzzed. He glanced quickly at the screen. It was Shonda.
Hey, excuse me a second. It's a client. I need to step out to take this call.
He rushed out of the room, closing the door behind him. He walked down the hall and into the waiting room.
Shonda, you need to stop calling. Do you hear me?
Oh, I hear you. Now, you hear me. You need to tell Marianne about us, or I will. You're not going to walk away from this, Chase.
She hung up.
Chase felt the blood rushing up to his face and his jaw tightened with determination.
I can't let her ruin my life.
He silenced his cell phone and tucked it into his sport coat pocket, then walked back to the hospital room to rejoin his family.